I had a different episode planned for today, but I watched the last Curb Your Enthusiasm the other night, and the theme of the episode was about lessons learned, and it really aligned with my current life situation, so I thought it would be good to talk about. Welcome to Bliss Up with Steph. I'm your host, Stephanie, and for over a decade, I've been navigating the health and wellness trends as a fitness trainer, nutritionist, and business owner, with the goal of empowering others to pay attention and listen to themselves so they can be more fulfilled and show up as their best. It's time to slow down and balance your wellness to be more aware, more authentic, and more aligned so you can rise above the half-assed shit in life. The title of the episode is called Lessons Learned, and if you've never watched Curb Your Enthusiasm before, you have to. It's on HBO Max and was created by Larry David, who also is the creator of Seinfeld, and it's freaking hilarious. Most of the stuff he does is insane. Like, he's absolutely ridiculous, and he just doesn't care about anything, so all you can do is laugh. But anyways, the episode was about life lessons, and he literally tells a kid who is trying to be taught a life lesson from his mom that he's never learned a lesson in his life, and it's evident with how much of an asshole he is to everyone in the show. Like, it's actually outrageous, but it's also very funny, and he just doesn't care and isn't very empathetic. And I was trying to think of the opposite of empathetic, and I had to look it up, and it's apathy, which means indifference or a lack of feeling or the lack of ability to feel compassion for someone or something. And yeah, that's him. In the last episode, it's just all of the crazy situations that he's been through throughout the entire course of the show, and it just shows he doesn't learn his lesson. But his lack of learning a lesson or not learning from his mistakes shows that he is very close-minded, which we talked about in episode 4 called There's No One Size Fits All for Health and Life. But a quick overview is that an open-minded person has the ability and desire to learn from their mistakes so they can grow. And a closed-minded person thinks of their mistakes as failures, so they don't use it as an opportunity to grow, and they kind of just ignore it or get down on themselves for it. So you don't want to be like that. Like, when I make a mistake, I try to understand how it happened and why it happened so that it doesn't happen again in the future. And it really fucking sucks when you do make that same mistake again, but that doesn't mean you're a failure. It just shows that you still have work to do. And that's what tends to happen. You will most likely be put back in the situation again as an opportunity to practice what you've learned. And although it's shitty and defeating if you do make another mistake when giving the opportunity, at least you know what you can focus your healing on. And then you can put in the work and intention to better yourself next time. Because we're all going to make mistakes in life. The real flex is learning from it so you can grow from it. So if this happens to you and you've made a mistake in the past and the same opportunity comes around again and you make the same mistake, try not to get down on yourself and think yourself into a hole. Yes, acknowledge you made a mistake, take responsibility for it, and express and process whatever you're feeling, but then let it go and set better intentions moving forward. I feel like so many of us sit in that suck, that self-pity, and dwell on everything we and the other person did without learning from it, because we're so caught up in the emotions of it. Absolutely, we need to feel our feelings, and that is why it is good to take some time journaling and understanding what happened so that you can gain some clarity and look at the big picture rather than just the feelings you had. And again, not saying feelings aren't valid. They definitely are. But sometimes past trauma, your current state of being, like if you're drunk, and how you may have perceived it, can all impact and amplify your feelings. So that's why, especially if you're apt to react quickly, it's important to pause and take a step back before responding so that your emotions don't take over. And I want to explain the difference between reacting and responding because I used to use these interchangeably, and now I'm very specific on the wording that I use. So reacting is what happens when you're not present and you're unable to feel yourself. You don't have access to reason, critical thinking, or insight. You're reenacting and reliving past trauma. You may feel rage, powerless, out of control, or that you're shutting down. So this means you need to create the space to reconnect with yourself before you respond. And responding means you're present, mindful, and aware. You have access to the rational mind and insight. And because you're rationally thinking, you can really choose your response based on the outcome you want. So if you're triggered and you're about to react irrationally, how can we interrupt this? Think about a recent time someone triggered you. Notice where in your body you feel it. What does it feel like? Identify what past experience this reminds you of. And then breathe. Take some deep breaths. Breathe into and through the emotional experience. Allow yourself to exhale audibly. And then choose a different response. Practice and repeat this process to reprogram your nervous system to respond differently. And as you can tell, this takes some time to work through. And if you were just about to react quickly to something, you wouldn't have had that time to create the space for a healthy response. And all the feelings that may come up in a lesson are there even if you don't realize it. Maybe you've become numb to feeling and you don't even know what you feel anymore. This is an exercise I found from Meredith Miller on inner integration, and it's an anger processing exercise to help you start to feel again. It's important to note that anger is typically a protective emotion that is often guarding a more vulnerable emotion. You might find after a while of expressing your anger, you collapse into tears, and that's okay. Let it go. So let yourself think about something recently that made you angry. Notice where in your body you feel it. How does it make you feel? Physicalize your anger. Allow yourself to hit a punching bag, a mattress, or beat your mattress with a pillow, or maybe you turn on some music and dance. Whatever you need to do to move that anger through you. Now vocalize your anger. Go out in a secluded spot in nature where you won't disturb anyone, or sit in your parked car where no one can see you, and let yourself get angry about a person or situation. Go ahead, scream, yell, whatever you need to do. Emotions are meant to be energy in motion. We need to be able to express our emotions in order to process and release them. If not, they can become trapped inside of us, which we'll talk about in another episode because this is something I've become super passionate about. But those stuck emotions can also cause us to repeat patterns because we haven't truly healed that pain or experience. Another helpful technique I absolutely love to help manage emotions or reduce stress is EFT tapping. This is an evidence-based practice with a ton of benefits, and it's when you tap various parts of your body, similar to the points used in acupuncture, while stating your issue of concern. Based on Chinese medicine, these points are thought of as areas of the body energy flows through. These pathways help balance energy flow to maintain your health. So while you tap through these points, you want to focus on an issue you're trying to resolve and come up with a phrase to say as you tap. A common one is, quote, "Even though I have this fill in a fear or problem, I deeply and completely accept myself," end quote. You can also say things like, "I release all feelings of anxiety, fear, and frustration. It's okay to let this go. It is safe to let this go. Whatever speaks to you. So you're going to repeat that phrase either out loud or in your head at each tapping site. And you're going to tap each area 7 times. So the first area is the side of your hand. And this is the meaty side of your hand where your pinky is. So like right below your pinky. You're going to use your other hand kind of like as a karate chop. So you're just going to karate chop one hand the 7 times as you state that phrase, and then you'll go to the other side. Then for the rest of these points, you're going to use your middle finger and your index finger, and you're going to tap in between your eyebrows. So I like to use both hands, my right and my left, and tap both sides in between my eyebrows, like where your third eye is. So you'll tap that 7 times as you say your phrase, and then you're going to move to the side of your eye, tap that with both hands on the outer side of your eyes, and then you're going to use both hands to tap under each eye, and then you'll use just one hand to tap under your nose, and then you'll use one hand to tap under your mouth on your chin, and then use both hands to tap your collarbone. And then you'll use both hands to tap under your arms, like kind of below your armpits. And then you'll use one hand to tap the top of your head. So you can go through that a few times, and that should really release some of your stress and bring you into a parasympathetic rest and digest state. And just like everything, everyone will respond differently to a situation. Some people will cry, some people may shut down, some people may get angry. And if this lesson involves another person that you care about, it's important to know how that person will respond so that you can support them throughout this process. Because just because you need to talk something out after a fight or something doesn't mean the other person wants to right away. And you have to respect those differences so that everyone feels comfortable to proceed. And if you get anxious, it may be hard to pull back and wait it out, but that's honestly the foundation of a relationship, is understanding how the other person operates and obviously how you operate so that you can work together. But again, this will be another topic for another episode. So anyways, back to allowing yourself to learn the lesson and not be so hard-headed or closed-minded that you let the lesson go without much thought. Because you will face it again, and it may have become an even bigger problem or situation. And if you don't understand it and learn from it, you won't have the tools to succeed. And like I said, even if you do have the tools, you may still not succeed the second time. But at least you're a little bit closer to succeeding because maybe there's a new lesson you can take out of it this time to get even closer to that freeing experience. And to note, if you have particularly heavy or challenging past traumas that you are working through, it may be best to seek professional help from a therapist, life coach, or bodywork professional to really release and heal from that experience. Happy healing, growing, and glowing. All right, that's all I have for you today. Thank you so much for listening, and if you enjoyed this episode, please hit subscribe and share with someone who will benefit so we can continue to raise the vibration. You can follow me, our guests, Flexible Wellness, and the podcast using the links in the show notes. Come back next Thursday for another new episode. Until then, slow down and bliss up, babes.